Translation. Just see, O man with the tiger strength, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions, and bodily pains, all very dangerous in themselves, are foreboding danger in the near future by deluding our intelligence. Purport given by Srivangari Srila Prabhupada Ki. Mature advancement of civilization means advancement of the reactions of the threefold miseries due to celestial influence, earthly reactions, and bodily or mental pains. By the celestial influence of the stars, there are many calamities like excessive heat, cold, rains or no rains, and the after effects are famine, disease, and epidemic. The aggregate result is agony of the body and the mind. Man-made material science cannot do anything to counteract these threefold miseries. They are all punishments from the superior energy of Maya, under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, our constant touch with the Lord by devotional service can give us relief without our being disturbed in the discharge of our human duties. The Asuras, however, who do not believe in the existence of God, make their own plans to counteract all these threefold miseries, and so they meet with failures every time. The Bhagavad Gita 7.14 clearly states that the reaction of material energy is never to be conquered because of the binding effects of the three modes. They can simply be overcome by one who surrenders fully in devotion under the lotus feet of the Lord. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki. Okay, so I'll read the verse again. Pashupata nara vyagra divyan bhoman sadehikan darunam samstato durad bhayam no buddhi mohanam. Just see, O man with the tiger's strength, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions, and bodily pains, all very dangerous in themselves, are foreboding danger in the near future by deluding our intelligence. Okay, so Hare Krishna, thank you for giving one the opportunity to say something. I would obviously have to echo Radha Govinda Prabhu's sentiments yesterday. It is Kali Yuga, so, I'm sitting here in the Vyasasan. nonetheless, I'll try and do my service to the best of my ability and just share Prabhupada's teachings on this. I'd like to get the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here, and of course those who are watching online. Okay, so we are continuing with Maharaj Yudhishthira. Obviously, he's seeing all the Nimitani symptoms of, detecting all the kind of like ill omens in the society. And, he's realizing more and more that, yes, Krishna has indeed left the planet. And ultimately, his focus is obviously looking at things from the Krishna conscious perspective, and what do we do now? So one can see, obviously, he's gearing up for that final stage of his life now, to renounce this world, let go, and go back to Krishna, which is kind of like the main sort of purpose of our movement, which is to let go of this material world and go back to Krishna. And you can see here that it's so relevant, isn't it, going to what's going on right now. It's talking about the threefold miseries. It says that when Maya is overseeing this material world, Maya Devi, Durga Devi, she has a trident. And on the trident, does anyone know, the trident has got three spikes to it. Does anyone know what those three spikes represent? Yes, Antaranga Prabhuji? Yes, very good. Adi Devika, Adi Bhautika, and Adi Atmika. Do we know what that means in English? Yes, not in that order, but yes, very good. Yes, so Adi Atmika is miseries from oneself, the bodily pains. Adi Devika, misery, celestial influences. And Adi Bhautika, which is miseries from other beings, etc. And so Yudhishthira Maharaj is seeing all of this happening now. And he realizes that, yes, now's the time to, wrap it up. Not because he's scared of the miseries, because he knows that he had instructions that, look, now Vyasadeva told me that, okay, when Krishna leaves, that's a good time for you to now wrap up. Okay? So, yeah, Maya's trident. So one of the things that's interesting here, because I was talking to His Grace Paramakaruna Prabhu about this verse yesterday, and it's interesting, we both spotted that. Firstly, actually, I've got a question here. Can anyone remind us, who is he talking to here? I'll give you a clue. It says in the beginning, Jassi, O man with the tiger's strength. That's right, Bhimsen. Bhima, of course, is his younger brother, his second brother. And he's obviously known for being very, very strong, very man of very high ability, performer of Herculean feats. And it's interesting here that, you know, you can see in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, when Krishna sometimes refers to Arjun, he refers to him by certain names at certain times, right? Like, you know, O son of Kunti, O, you know, I don't know, Dhananjaya, etc., etc. Same with Arjun. He will refer to Krishna as certain things, O Madhusudan, right? O Keshava, right? At different times. Same here. Yudhishthira could have referred to him as just Bhim, O my dear Bhim. But he's specifically referring, O man with the tiger strength. It's interesting, we'll touch on that, because if you look at the purport, it makes sense why he would say that. Because indicating that you are a man of high ability, you're a man of high, and generally people who have high ability, they want to take it upon themselves to sort things out, right? To kind of fix things, right? Isn't it? If you've got empowered to do something, you get your hands stuck in, like, I can do this, I want to get to work on this. So what I'm going to do is cross-reference this verse with a wonderful article that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote for The Harmonist, which is the old magazine that Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had published in the olden days before ISKCON came along. Kind of like a precursor to Back to Godhead. I'll give you the reference at the end, actually, in case anyone wants to see. I've got it here, actually. But anyway, the article's called Reforming the Reformer. Reforming the Reformer, because it is obviously in tendency now to obviously want to reform what's going on. At the moment, we can see there's a lot of these three kleshagnis, these three miseries going on in the world. We had the coronavirus. We've got the whole, there's actually been locusts. Did you know in certain countries now in Asia, there's been locusts going around that's basically killing all the crops. Then, of course, you've got, so therefore in certain countries, you've got, you know, famine-like situations. Then you've got political troubles as well, right? You've got the whole, you know, different big countries are squaring up against each other. And of course, now, as we know, in America, and obviously recently in the UK, we've had certain demonstrations with certain social movements that are coming around due to kind of like, you know, different groups that are kind of like, you know, in disturbance with each other due to kind of persecutions, etc., injustice. So it's almost like, you know, the biblical four horsemen of apocalypse. War, famine, disease, and pestilence. It's all happening. It's all actually happening right now. And so then obviously what generally the human nature is, because we are so confident in our bala, our strength, that we want to see how we can sort this out, bring about another treaty, bring about another resolution, resolution after resolution after resolution. Okay, and yet still the same things exist. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he's actually talking about something. He says, the world stands in no need of any reformer. The world has a very competent person for guiding its minutest happenings. The person who determines that there is scope for reform of the world himself stands in need of reform. So any person who determines that there's a need for reform actually needs to be reformed himself. Basically, he's deluded. The world goes on in its own perfect way. No person can deflect it even the breadth of a hair from the course chalked out for it by providence. Okay, obviously, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj talks in very posh English here, right? So, but no person deflect it can change the course of the world's happenings from the course that's already chalked out by providence, by laws of karma, etc. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says a very famous verse: "Ekale Ishwar Krishna Arashabai Britto Yaraya Cha Nachaya Shetai Cha Karinitto." Lord Krishna alone is the controller. Ekale Ishwar Krishna Arashabai Britto. All others are his servants. Basically, they'll dance as he makes them do so. Okay, they're all his servants, they're all his puppets. Okay, so we know again from the Mahabharata, there's a nice little tale where when Arjun and Karna are fighting in the war, and every time Arjun would shoot arrows at Karna's chariot, it would go back like 25 to 30 feet, right? Just from the pure power of the arrows. And then when Karna would shoot arrows at Arjun, it would go back like, you know, sort of 5 feet or something. And then what happens when Krishna would see Karna shooting arrows at Arjun, he'd go, bravo, bravo. Like he's complimenting Karna, actually, even though he's Arjun's charioteer. He'd be, bravo, Karna. Kudos. Well, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, well done. You know, great, great fighting, you know, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then obviously, but every time Arjun would shoot arrows at Karna, Krishna wouldn't say anything. Krishna wouldn't say anything. And so then afterwards, you know, after that fight, then, you know, Arjun came down, and he actually was a bit miffed. So he goes to Krishna that, Krishna, why is it that I was actually causing a lot more damage to Karna's chariot than he was to me, right? And yet somehow, you know, you didn't seem to, you were always praising Karna, but you didn't praise me. And then obviously, you know, after that, there was a whole pastime where the Arjun's chariot, after the war, his whole chariot blew up, it burst into flames. And the Arjun got shocked, oh my God, my whole chariot burst in flames. So Krishna explained that I was protecting your chariot. I was the one that actually, you know, was helping your arrows to be powerful. So therefore, I want to curb your pride. Because I can see that you were getting pride and you're trying to fishing for compliments from me. But the fact is, it was me that was doing it, not you. That's the reason I was deliberately praising Karna, you. Just to make you humble, to make you realize that ultimately it's me that's doing everything. And it was because of my power that your arrows could impact Karna in such a heavy way. So again, I guess the lesson for us is here that, you know, whatever is going on, whatever we think we're doing, ultimately it's Krishna doing it through us. No matter how clever we are, how talented we are, we know that ultimately it's Krishna that is empowering us to do these things. So getting back to the verse, Yudhishthira is foreseeing these miseries, and he realizes that right now there's only one duty for us to do as a human being, right? There is only one duty, and it's going to come very soon, which is ultimately to renounce this world, okay? And so this is where we actually get to the point where, why is he saying, so now that we mentioned the Karna Arjun pastime, now that we mentioned that ultimately we are not the ones that can reform anything, why do you think Yudhishthira then says to Bhima, O man with the tiger strength? So he's emphasizing that, Bhima, you have a great ability, but ultimately, even whatever ability we have, ultimately we can't actually fix anything here. Right, because Bhima's obviously been very, you know, conscious of his ability to do things. But so he's saying to him, yes, you have ability, but ultimately your ability is given by Krishna. You yourself cannot fix anything. And that's exactly what Prabhupada is also saying here as well. Okay, so the whole point is that Yudhishthira is now seeing the essence of everything. He's lived his life. He's been a great king. He's been a great king. And, you know, he's led his life kind of governing the world. But he realizes now that now we have to get to the essence, which is to get to Krishna, which is what our Krishna conscious movement is about, is to give the essence. So I'm going to now go back to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's article. I'm going to carry on with that. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj continues. He said that when we perceive any change being actually affected in the course of events of this world by the agency of any particular individual, we must know very well that the agent possesses no real power at any stage. Okay. The agent finds himself driven forward by a force belonging to a different category for him from himself. So when we see certain people doing amazing stuff, realize that it's actually not that person doing anything, it's that he's been guided by a superior force. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says to Arjun, Purusha prakriti stohi bhumte prakriti jan gunan, karanam guna sangosa sat asat yoni janmasu. Right? The living entity finds himself going through various species, impelled to different actions, and often it's because of the contact with different species of life, and of course due to contact with the modes. Okay, jan gunan, the different qualities. Ultimately, these qualities are coming from Krishna himself. I remember once one of our former brahmacharis here. He used to work for these NGOs in Africa, and he was reflecting that he was working there for years and years and years. And they would pour money, like so much money, into these kind of like, these charitable organizations there. And the same thing would happen again and again and again, right? The people would get the money and they'd be very, very enthusiastic. Yes, we're going to do right. We're going to build this. We're going to develop this. Very enthusiastic. Give it a few years and suddenly you can see the money starting to disappear, right? It's not actually going where it's meant to be going. And so they think, okay, that was a complete failure. Let's start again. Maybe a fresh group of people, right? And again, they do the same thing and go the same way. It start off with bright hopes, great promises, and then end up where the money starts fizzing out. Then, of course, he came to Krishna conscious and he starts looking at the modes. And he realized that actually, no matter how many external solutions we try and fix, ultimately, it's the consciousness. If we're in mode of ignorance or mode of passion, no matter how good the external infrastructure may be, right? If the people themselves are not, you know, developing their consciousness, then the same problem is going to happen because the mode of ignorance is going to pervade that infrastructure, or the mode of passion is going to pervade the infrastructure. So that's why they say, you know, you have to fix the hearts and minds first. Internal gets fixed, then the external solutions can work nicely. Okay, so that's why it's very important. That's why Prabhupada said, you water the root of the tree, then all the branches, they will actually, get sorted. Okay, so again, coming back to this article by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Maharaj goes on to say, the course of this world does not require to be changed by the agency of any person. Okay, the course of this world doesn't require to be changed by the agency of any person. Right? So one thing is that we understand from this, what Yudhishthira Maharaj is also realizing from the purport, is that ultimately there is no relief from these materialistic endeavors. Now, at this point, I remember when I was talking to Paramakarni yesterday, he said that, how do you answer this then? You get certain devotees that will say, but we see that if we take a tablet, right, and we have an illness or something, then our illness can be solved. So are you saying that we do not actually rely on any kind of materialistic endeavor whatsoever? Like, you know, are we, okay, I know we're meant to be just relying completely on Krishna, but if we have an issue, do we not try and solve it? Okay? So the way we saw it is this, that you have certain bandages that you can wear, right, to kind of temporarily alleviate some sort of sufferings that you have. But don't put your full faith in that temporary bandage, okay? It's not that it's going to actually solve anything fully, right? It's just something temporary. Because remember, if you have you put a bandage there, but soon enough something else is going to come. In the same way, when people want to rely on charitable endeavors, and of course devotees, I know especially now with the whole social climate, I know there are a lot of devotees that are also getting involved in a lot of these social causes that are going on. There's one big social movement that's developing right now in the media, which I know a lot of devotees are getting involved with as well, a very big one. But the whole point is that ultimately for us, we realize that real empowerment actually comes from Krishna consciousness. It won't be any kind of materialistic reformist procedures. And that therefore, you know, I know there are a lot of reformist notions that are being propagated in the world. But ultimately for us, our main goal is actually to go towards Krishna. Because these materialistic issues, they'll never end. Whether today is this social political issue, tomorrow is going to be another issue. Whether it's this klesha agni today, tomorrow is going to be another type of misery. Okay? So, therefore, we can maybe temporarily take certain things to alleviate ourselves. Like, for example, I know one of the big debates that's happened in one of the classes is, should devotees, if they're going for mental health issues, should they take therapy? Should they, you know, take antidepressants, etc., etc., medical help? The understanding is, yes, they can, because until you're a pure devotee and completely transcended the effects of the material miseries, then you are still affected by the material miseries. So whilst you're affected by it, you can temporarily take these measures to keep your body in a nice sound condition so you can do your service nicely. Okay, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur would say, right, health, sadhana and service. So for the sake of maintaining your bodily health, fine, take some therapeutic measures and, or, you know, whatever it may be, and try and improve society to make it a nice condition so that we can practice Krishna consciousness peacefully. But don't actually just trust in that fully. The soul, like the analogy that's given, the soul is within the car, which is the body. And so the main function of the car is to go from this point to our destination, which is back to Godhead, right? So for the sake of maintaining the car obviously needs to be maintained. It needs to have its MOT done. It needs to be fueled. It needs to be kind of looked at and everything. For that purpose, yes, you fix the car for whatever it needs to be done. But then after a certain point, it's not that you then get so caught up in the car and how good the car is that you actually lose track of where you need to go. So we need to be careful as devotees as well. So yes, there are a lot of reforming kind of movements going on, you know, causes and things like that. But we have to look at what is actually our ultimate goal. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Of course, there is also that stage as well where at one point one is ready to dismantle everything. And Yudhishthira Maharaj himself is at that point. He realizes that, you know what, there's no need for me to now go to any other materialistic reformation, right? I don't need to fix the car anymore. I'm literally right at the finishing line now. Let go of the car. Just cross over now. Go back to Krishna. Obviously, so therefore, we have to obviously always have that mindset that, yeah, there's all these different kind of like miseries going on in the world, social miseries, environmental miseries, but ultimately for us, we have to check out of this place. We have to check out of this place and understand that, you know, that is the ultimate thing, which is why Prabhupada kept on pushing this notion of renunciation. Renunciation doesn't just mean for sannyasis, it means for everyone. We have to renounce this world. Even the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Perfection of Renunciation. Okay, back to the article. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he continues. He says, what is necessary to change our outlook on this world? This was done for the contemporary generation by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. It can only be known to recipients of his mercy. The scriptures declare that it is only necessary to listen with an open mind to the name of Krishna from the lips of a bona fide devotee. As soon as Krishna enters the listening ear, he clears up the vision of the listener so that he no longer has any ambition of ever acting the part of a reformer of any other person. Okay? Because he finds that nobody is left without the very highest guidance. So ultimately, you know, no matter how much you try and fix the world, ultimately we realize that no one actually needs reforming. Krishna takes care of everything. This world does not need reforming. It's carrying perfectly as it is according to how Krishna wants it. And therefore we see even people who are mired in worldly duties, you have great devotees, they eventually give up their worldly duties. Yudhishthira Maharaj, a classic example here. Vidura gave up his worldly duties. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you had King Prataparudra, right? Very opulent king of Orissa. He also gave up his worldly duties. Okay? In fact, what's going to happen when you get to the next chapter, which is chapter 15, not only Yudhishthira Maharaj, all the Pandavas are going to start to renounce. That's basically what's going to happen. They're all going to start to renounce his Lord. Even Draupadi herself is going to renounce. Because they all realize that, you know what? These worldly duties are never ending. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And it's for us to really just cut it. Because generally the tendency is that I'm just going to finish this. I'm going to have a grand finale. And then I'm going to just, you know, close the book and, you know, nicely sail off into the sunset. It doesn't work like that. Because as soon as you finish this duty, there's going to be another one coming along. You yourself have to cut it. I remember a few weeks back, Navadip Chandra Prabhu was saying how when they took sannyas, they took it in the middle of the night and left the family. There was no grand ceremony and things like that. Right? It's literally because it's a non-stop thing going on. This material world is a non-stop, never-ending kind of like duty after duty after duty. We have to just cut it at the right time. I remember one senior devotee is mentioning how one of his disciples was saying how you find like, especially with a lot of the, you know, the Indian, older generation of Indian men that came here, worked hard to set up their shops, you know, selling groceries and things like that, corner shops and all that kind of stuff. And what happened, a lot of them are getting, they get older now. So they've put their sons and their grandsons to take care of the shops now. The idea being that they can now, you know, so this senior devotee would even tell them that now is a time for you to now cut back from your shop duties, okay? Look, your son's taking care of the shop now. Now you can just focus on your spiritual life. Well, what does he do? This grandfather, this, you know, Indian grandfather, he's sitting in the shop, in his chair, right, quietly just watching. Because he can't let go of the fact that he's basically just watching his son, making sure that his son is managing the shop. Even though his son is probably managing it nicely, he doesn't need to be there. But he's still sitting there because he's still kind of attached to that shop. No, make sure you're doing it properly. Have you counted that bit? All right, are you making sure you're budgeting? Have you put that in the bag? It's like, just stop, cut it, let go. Let your son deal with it. You know, so you can see that this is something that these duties, the shop's duties will never end. It will just keep carrying on. So therefore, it's for us to actually cut it. Yudhishthira Maharaj realizes he has to cut it. Okay? So then we go back to the article, and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that it is therefore his own reform that he's increasingly able to realize by the eternally continuing mercy of the Supreme Lord. So we know, of course, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a wonderful verse. Brahmanda Bhramita Kona Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Okay? The ultimate, that's the best fortune you can get. When you get the mercy of that bhakti from the, you know, the seed of that bhakti from the mercy of the Guru, then that's the ultimate thing that you can work on. Reform yourself by connecting with Krishna. So this is from The Harmonist, May 1932, issue number 11. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Sri Sri Gonitai ki. Okay, so we have 15 minutes left. I'm going to add on another thing. But before I say that, one thing I want to say is, yes, this verse and Bhaktisanta Maharaj's article, they're both talking about the fact that we cannot reform this world. Ultimately, we can only connect with Krishna. And as Vaishnavas, our main purpose is to connect with Krishna, right? That's what it's about. Now, some people, especially now, with the whole kind of like, you know, sort of social and environmental issues that are going on in the world, some devotees may say that, yeah, but that's all very good. But the thing is, we still have to live in this world and we still are going through all these social issues. We can't just, you know, be in a cocoon, because most devotees are living in the you know, world outside. They're having to deal with a lot of these issues, the social issues that are kind of, you know, that we're coming across right now in the world, the disturbances, right? So are you saying that the Vaishnavas themselves cannot have any part to play in, you know, like trying to, you know, sort of help to fix the social problems of this day and age? Because devotees themselves are going to get affected by these things, okay? So I was going to hand this as a question to you guys. Any thoughts on that? We know ultimately from this article, this world does not need reforming. We know that these miseries are going to carry on. We know that all the people are doing whatever they're doing. It's all guided by Krishna's will. So do we just kind of like let go, focus on our own bhajan, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, right? Or is there a need for us to take an active role in the social, zeitgeist of the day? Yes, Antaranga Prabhu. Because it's very relevant. I was listening to a podcast recently, and you know, one of the devotees on it, me and Sutapa were talking about this, one of the devotees was getting very emotional about what's going on right now with disturbance in America, because he comes from a community himself, right, where he's experienced that. So, yeah.
Hare Krishna. I think, yeah, very nice, very relevant question. One thing which comes to my mind is that when Prabhupada said that our goal is also to establish Varnashram system, this is not necessarily like it was already set up by Krishna. It already exists. All these traits are in the people, personalities. People are Brahmanical people, are Kshatriya-like, Vaishya-like, and Shudra-like. So what we're doing, we are not establishing something new. We just try to re-establish something which is already there but is not recognized. So there is impact, but there is not impact, in a sense that we try to create or give a format to something which already exists but is not recognized. At least that's my understanding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you very much, Antaranga Prabhu. Maybe we'll go to Sutapa Prabhu and then Gaur Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class. And I think it's a very important question about... So your question is about, should we be responding to social issues?
Yes, exactly.
I think as devotees, we got to show that the philosophy is relevant to the world, that it actually makes a difference, and that it can actually provide solutions. So I think it's definitely the devotees should have a response to everything going on in the world. However, I think the nature of the response that we give should be a more elevated response. So rather than dealing with material issues by coming in with a material viewpoint on one side or the other, I think it's very important that we provide something more elevated, something more transcendental, because otherwise we're not really making a big difference. So I think as long as devotees are giving a transcendental perspective, of course, transcendental doesn't always mean irrelevant, because sometimes, you know, that point is there also, that you're being so transcendental that you're not dealing with the immediate reality. But I think when we understand transcendental principles and communicate them appropriately, they can actually have a very immediate impact in reality as well. But that's for us to communicate it in that way.
Thank you. Yeah, really good point. Before it goes to Gaur Krishna Prabhu's comment, I think that's also a really relevant point that you made there. Because, when Prabhupada initially established ISKCON, the mood was very kind of like straight to the essence, right? If you look at most of that time, the young disciples then, it was about just fully Krishna conscious. It's about going back to Krishna. In fact, most of the people then even lived in the temples, you know. But then recently, in the last few years, there was a sannyasi in Chicago, and he said a humorous comment. He goes, nowadays, don't think that everyone who's joining Krishna consciousness is necessarily looking for pure devotional service. Okay, they're not. Some people come for different reasons, but Krishna consciousness is giving something for different things. So I think if we can address people's where they're at materially, Varnashram, of course, is an aspect there, addressing social political issues, but then bring them up to the level of where that transcendence where, okay, you're here now, let's see how we can work with this, but then also bring them onto the Krishna path so that eventually they do have to kind of transcend those social aspects and things like that as well. I think that's very much needed. Gaur Krishna Prabhu, did you have a thought on that?
I feel that you answered the question in your class, actually, when you said that it's by change of consciousness that things, because you said like this, NGOs, they're doing so much, but in the end, actually, nothing really changes much. It's only if people, the consciousness of the people involved in the world changes. But at the same time, you know, people have to feel that we're not just, you know, like Suttaberg was saying, we're not just in a cloud somewhere.
Mm.
But we do address that with things like food for life. But we definitely shouldn't get involved in material solutions, and you know, actually physically doing things, apart from, say, giving food for life, because you're prasadam for life, really, isn't it? Mm. Because then we're just not doing our job. Just like you referred to Navadvip Chandra, and a few weeks ago he was also talking about how we have to do our job of preaching, not getting, not necessarily thinking that, oh, you have to actually be doing, you know, like looking after cows and things. We have to be telling people this is what should be happening. But the brahmanas are not necessarily actually physically going to do that, but they have to let people know that is. Which is basically what Suttaberg was saying also, that we... Anyway, that's...
No, thank you. Brahmanas are meant to advise the government, the society. In the olden days, the brahmanas themselves wouldn't be doing the execution of that. You know, and then if you look at a lot of the religious histories of the world, like especially in Western history, the church and the state, you know, it became very enmeshed. So then what happens that it's not that the church is just influencing the politics. Politics starts influencing the church. So then the whole kind of like integrity goes down and everything. The whole thing starts to crumble. So I think we can help people with social political issues by giving them guidance and advice, but always keeping the transcendental core. We always have to have the inner life that, you know, we are here to actually like bring people out of this and take them back. And therefore, we should also make sure that we're not too involved in the too much deeply getting into the politics and stuff as well, because then we get political ourselves and we lose the essence of Krishna. Very good point, Prabhuji. Yes, Cyrus Prabhu.
Yes, losing the essence of Krishna. You know, you made some very important points, all of you, you know. Prabhuji here, Prabhuji over there. But from my perspective, with all that is going on at the moment in the world, you know, the black revolt, you could call it, let's put it straight, they might have a very good reason for doing so. But here's the point I'm trying to make, is that if you're black-bodied, it's quite easy, very emotional, what's going on, very emotional for people, for a group, if your group has been affected. But you have to take a position. You can't be too materially minded. or else you get carried away and get swept into the whole thing. If you take a position, realize that the blacks who are oppressed and the whites who are racist against them, they all belong to the same puppet master. You with me? So they're dancing to the same tune, they're just differently, you know. Different. But ultimately, they're all the same, actually. They're all the same. So whether we fix this group or fix that group, really, it's the consciousness, as you said, that needs to be fixed. Because insanity is all over the planet because of lack of consciousness. So so on a material level, you say there will always be conflict, there will always be this group, that group, and, you know. But ultimately, what's the end game? The end game is, where is the elevation of consciousness? And where will it take us at the end of the day? But all these things happening in the world, one can perceive that it's leading to something much bigger. So we need to be prepared for that as well. It might be a little bit cushy now, even though it's difficult, something bigger could really happen. Because the world is tipping, it's on a tipping, you know what I mean? It's delicately balanced at the moment. So anything can change all that. So one must remain conscious. And nice point. And it's very relevant as well.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's why it's interesting. Prabhupada, one of the main messages he has in his scriptures is always, you're not the body. You know, you're not the body, you're not the body. And of course, like you said, it's interesting you mentioned that there's only one puppet master. That's why we read that verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekaleshwar Krishna Arashava Britta, Yara Yachanacha Shetaiche Korintu, that Lord Krishna alone is the controller. All others are actually his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. Either you willingly dance for him or unwillingly. That's why Prabhupada wanted to willingly dance for Krishna. He says to him, Nachao, Nachao, Nachao Shemate, right? When he's on the ship. He says, you dance as you make you want to dance. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Maya's, you know, Krishna's energy. Okay, yes, Sita Prabhu.
Just something that we were speaking about, I think it's worth raising just on Cyrus's point about the kind of sensitive social issues going on right now. I think as devotees, we should also be very careful to take, you know, to be very careful about taking a stance one way or the other. Because, for example, with what's going on in the world today, when you immediately see the situation, there's an immediate kind of sense of what's right, what stance, what. But as you begin researching, then you realize these social issues are so multi-layered. There's so many things behind it. There's so many other statistics or facts or other things that we may be unaware of, other factors involved. I think as ISKCON also, it's very dangerous if we take a certain stance on social issues because they're so complicated. And therefore, not only is it... it's safer and it's also more powerful if we actually take a stance which is above the material wranglings of, you know, this side or that side, because they're so complicated, these issues.
Yeah, thank you. That was a brilliant point. We always have to have that mood of transcendence. If I may add something onto what you said there, Prabhuji, because also if ISKCON was to take a stance, I can say right now, especially with this social stuff going on and various other social issues that ISKCON devotees may talk about, do not think that devotees are on the same page. Okay? Trust me. There are very wide variety of political opinions on so many issues within devotees. I know devotees who are uber right-wing and devotees that are very left-wing. I know devotees that are, you know, may take a certain pro this, you know, Black Lives Matter, whatever it is, or this, that. And I know devotees who are actually against it. And they're against liberal. No, liberal is bad. No, we have to bring in conservative. I know devotees who are for Trump. They love Trump. And devotees who obviously don't like Trump. So therefore, I think we need to work on just getting a common platform of transcendence. Because if you get to the political stuff, within devotees, there's going to be a lot of, a lot of arguments going on as well. Because, you know, we're coming in with all our conditionings. You're coming from a certain background. If you come from like a very right-wing background, those right-wing views are not going to just go straight away. It's going to take time. And if you come with a very liberal background, new age, this and that, then you're going to obviously gear towards that. But in Krishna consciousness, we can start to transcend this. So very much so, I definitely agree. Our power lies in actually giving the transcendental perspective on everything, yeah. Sorry? Oh, right. Oh. Yeah. Sure, sure. Okay. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. I was seeing something on the internet. Like, there's a lot of things on the internet at the moment. The thing that really made it stand out was that it was just a bit like the coronavirus. We have cough as a symptom of the coronavirus disease. The same as this whole Black Lives Matter things, like this whole racism comes to the top, but it's not the racism which is the problem. It's the egoism. It's everyone seeing that there's a huge problem, and this whole thing is actually a good thing, because it's we realize we're a really diseased society. There's something really wrong with our society, and people don't want to have that. When people are going on protests, it's they can externally be trying to protest over police or whatever, but actually it's an internal thing, about how we want to actually just get rid of this false ego we have. No one wants this arrogance and this perception that one person is better than another. And if this is so deeply subconscious, even in devotees, we want to have superiority over this person who's younger than you, who is the opposite gender, who is this and that. We always want to have superiority. And this is just really a situation with the ego, with the false ego, and this is just quarreling between each other. But at the end of the day, it's just who wants to be better than another person, and whoever will find fault in another, they will point their finger, because this is just what it is. But I think this whole situation, what's going on, is actually a good thing, because we can recognize that our society outside is really awful, and that we need to have a huge change, actually. So I don't know.
No, thank you. Yeah. Any other comments? On the... Okay. Okay, so we're almost out of time. Did you want to... You have a comment? Oh, sorry.
Thank you. It was a really nice, enlightening class. Very varied amount of topics covered. There's a similar sort of stance on thinking around what the Mataji has mentioned around society and how we, as a organization, as a movement, take a stance on how we are belonging to the society. And obviously, we lead by example. We put in varnashram systems. We put in other activities within this society. But at the end of the day, we have to still live in the country, still live in the organization, within the world, to actually help the world in terms of understanding likes of how to get over false ego, how to get over pride, all of those activities. So the question comes is that how do we then actually dovetail our thinking, our way of working with what we are doing with the society, and how we're actually making that as a progress for them.
Oh, yeah, very good point. And I think that's something we need to look at for the future. It's not something we can probably discuss right now. That's another session. But yeah, for sure. But obviously, we also keep in mind what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said in the reformist article from The Harmonist, that ultimately for us, we reform ourselves by listening to the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the lips of a bona fide devotee. That's the ultimate solution. Okay, thank you so much for all your comments. And we'll finish here now today. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.